In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just so you know, the Irishman did not get in a bar fight. Just a little visit to the dermatologist. Irishman growing up in Florida, not a good combination. So I just want to let you know that, get my wife off the hook. She's been accused of many things already this morning that aren't true. But probably understandable. This morning we're looking at the gospel according to Luke, and we come in at a place where his disciples are asking him or requesting something from Jesus. They turn to him and they say, Jesus had been praying at some point. They've seen this before. One of them turns to him and says, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And so he lays out almost like a framework of how we understand the Lord's Prayer. We're a little more familiar with the way that it would appear in the Gospel according to Matthew. So if you want to check that out, you can look that up. It's chapter 6, verse 9. It looks a little more familiar. In case you're unfamiliar, we'll be saying it a little bit later. But I suspect you know it pretty well. But what he's offering, being a good teacher, is a framework of prayer. It follows the same framework that you would see in Matthew. It's just isn't as filled in as great a detail. So it's, you know, Father, hallowed be your name. So he's saying, in your process, here's number one, honor the name of God. Recognize and know, this is the one true God, honor this the name of God. Your kingdom come. Now we would add, your will be done on earth, that it is in heaven, as Matthew would also. But he says, your kingdom come. We don't have to question where, because when you ask somebody to come to you, you expect them to come where you are. Understand that the greatest desire, God, is over all things. The desire is that all things would be under the rule of God, his kingdom. Give us each day our daily bread. So that reminds us that we are aware that all that we have is provided by God, sometimes on a daily basis. Sometimes we think that it's going out and we've made plans that are going to last for years. But we really don't know that, do we? But we find some comfort in it. We call it stability. But the only true stability is this. Give us each day our daily bread. We trust that God is going to provide. And then the part that, you know, we'd like to slip in there just to be sure, and forgive us our sins. So we want to be pure before God in our prayer. Forgive us our sins. And we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Let's be sure that not only are we receiving all this goodness from God, but we are learning to give it to others. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Guide us. Keep us focused. Help us. And this is a framework that Jesus gives his disciples. Say these things. They may have more to say as they go further into their prayer, like many of us do. And after he sets this pattern for his disciples, he then begins to teach them through a parable, which at a glance almost doesn't feel quite right. Yeah, when we first read it, it's like, did we just change gears? And we, of course, we didn't. And he gives us this parable that is encouraging us to pray with great confidence and perseverance. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. He tells this parable of the man who has a friend come in the middle of the night. I'm not sure what kind of friend does that. But the friend comes in the middle of the night and he needs bread because he has nothing to offer. So he goes to another friend's house and he says, it's too late. The door's locked. I'm in bed with the kids. I'm not waking them up to come and get you bread. But this is a time, of course, hospitality is a big thing. So the man in bed with the children has a responsibility. His reputation is now on the line If he doesn't do anything, everyone's going to know that his friend came to him needing hospitality and help, and he went, eh, I don't know if I want to do it. But the persistence of his other friend on the other side of the door, he's like, okay, great, I'll get up, I'll take care of it. I have to, so I'll do it. And you think, well, why would Jesus tell them this? And as he goes further, we understand, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you. He's showing a contrast. He says, even though you, humans, will on occasionally find a piece of you that feels responsible enough to move when you don't want to, God's always ready to move. He's not like us in that way. He is always ready to answer. He is always ready to respond. And Jesus is telling us, when you pray to the Father, be persistent, be bold even. And keep asking, because he wants to respond to you. He's ready to respond, and he wants to respond. And we can hear that when we listen to what Jesus is saying. And as I was reading through, I was thinking about the ways in which I pray and the ways in which I have to remind myself not to pray. So there's always this time when we feel like things might be so desperate and the situation we're facing, we can't see a solution. So we want to comfort ourselves. We don't want to be let down. So we have this really wonderful thing that says, well, God, if it's your will. If it's your will. That's not a prayer to God. Brothers and sisters, that's let me back off of this a little bit because I feel uncomfortable because I'm afraid that you may not respond to me the way that I want you to. And then we go, well, it must be God's will. What is his will? That he would reign in his kingdom and in us. That's his will. That we'd be reconciled to him. That we would come to him with all things at all times. And then we pray and we go, well, you know, if it's God's will. And think about that phrase. You ever heard that one before? In prayer? If it's God's will. More often than not when that happens, we've really hit the end of our rope. And we don't really have the confidence to go forward. Jesus himself knelt in the garden, didn't he? Take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. He goes, well, not my will, but yours. He didn't want, in his being fully human, fully divine, that moment, didn't really like the way it was looking, would be my guess. But he was going to follow God because he trusted him to be a good, gracious, loving God. It's what he calls us, to approach him that way. And we should approach knowing that's how he is going to respond. Jesus knew he'd respond that way. When we say, if it's your will, or if it's God's will, what's the real condition of our heart at that point? Are we kneeling in the garden like Jesus, waiting for knowing what God's calling us to and just saying, okay, I'll do it? Or are we thinking, I have to guard my heart here in case he doesn't respond the way I expect? See, I think sometimes we carry things into our prayer. Our grandson reminded me of this past week. It was dinner. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, this is a complicated thing. The food's on the plate. You eat it. That's not how it works. He didn't like it. Okay. So he wouldn't eat it. Everyone else is eating, and Grandma made cookies. So everybody, you know, well, you finish your dinner, you can have a cookie. So everybody else finishes their dinner, he's sitting there. Oh, you don't want dessert? I do. Well, you have to finish. The kids are off doing whatever they were doing, not destroying anything at the moment, so we were good. Many of the adults were sitting in the dining room, I'm mostly just hoping they weren't destroying anything in the other room. And he comes into his mother with his plate. He goes, "Do I have to eat the rest of this?" It was the pork he didn't like, by the way. He goes, this was my second helping. I said, "Well, that's a good one." And his mother looks at the plate and goes, "Really, who got it for you?" Because it's all cut up, you know. 6 years old, he probably could have figured it out, but we would have known he was doing something. And he's stammering, and she goes, she said, "You're lying to me, aren't you?" So he's caught. "Go back to the table and eat your dinner." We have moved on. He's still at the table. We are outside. Cousins are in the pool, I think. I don't know what was going on. There was a lot going on. There's a lot of them, as you know. There was a lot going on. And he finally comes out. He had finished his dinner, went to his father for the cookie, and he said, "Well, you lied to your mom. You better go talk to her." So he comes out, and this is how he approaches her. "I already know what you're going to say." And she goes, "Oh, really?" She goes, "Why don't you ask me instead of deciding what I'm going to respond?" "Well, you know, do you have something to ask me?" "Can I have a cookie?" she said. "Yeah, it hurt my feelings that you lied to me." He goes, "I'm sorry." And she goes, "That's fine. Yes, you can have a cookie." But he came, "I know what you're going to say." And I thought to myself, how often do we do things like that? How often do we come to Jesus and say, "I know, I'm a mess. Lord, I'm a mess, and I've screwed up tons, and all along the way, I know what you're going to say." No, you don't. But so often we come into our prayers carrying all of our baggage, and then we project it onto Jesus, amen? And he's saying what? He's saying, "Come boldly to me. Be persistent. Come follow this model and say, look, God, I see who you are. I would love nothing more than to live in this kingdom in its fullness that you have promised. I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry, and I'm striving to live like you. And I know you're guiding me. Can you guide me in this?" It's a model to follow. But so often we pick up all of our junk and we stuff it in there, and then we go to him and we don't really even get to praying. We just kind of throw up before him and say, "Here's all my junk." And he goes, "Okay." And responds anyway, because he's not like us. But just imagine what your relationship with God could be if we just came knowing what Jesus is saying today. Even a parent that had the child come looking for a fish is not going to hand them a serpent. Even a parent whose child is looking for an egg isn't going to hand them a scorpion. So if you and us and our brokenness are bright enough and loving enough and caring enough to do that, think how much more God is ready to do for us. And what if we came knowing that instead of carrying all of our junk and going, "Can I have a, I know what you're going to say because of what I've done, but could I have a cookie?" You can. They're next door later. But I can answer that one. That's praying a different way, right? With expectation of a response from God. And how about we just let him respond instead of telling them how to respond? It's really my biggest problem. If God would just do what I told him, things would be amazing. But I find that true about a lot of things. I tell my wife, as soon as everybody figures out this is about me, the better off we're all going to be. Amen? I mean, that's often how we feel. I mean, I'm getting better at it, but I was, I'm the youngest of six kids. I'm the baby. Any other babies? We're special, right? Yeah, we know. All the older ones are going, yes, they are. It's just true, sorry. But what if we just trusted what God says? What if we just trust the words of Jesus and just say, okay, here I am. I see the model, I'm following it, and I'm, Lord, you are the good Father. You're going to respond, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to tell you, Lord, where I am, and I'm going to look for your response, and I'm just going to know that responding is your will, and that you're a good Father, and that you give good gifts. And then he says this, verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Then he adds a little piece about the serpent and the fish and such. And at the end of that he says, and if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I read that and I thought, fish, serpent, egg, scorpion, Holy Spirit. I think, well, what is Jesus trying to say to us here? What's he really trying to say? I think he's saying this. You come looking for things that that he understands are very important to us. But in the big scheme of the whole concept of a relationship with God for eternity, so much of what we bring to him in prayer are little intricate details to bring comfort to this life. Amen? And what he's saying is this. You, even you who are evil, know how to give a good gift. God is willing to give you an actual piece of him. The very essence of God will be given to those who ask. The presence of God within you will be given to all who ask. The power of God is yours for the asking. He is not just worried about making sure you get enough. He's not just worried to see if you get the thing. He wants to give you everything that matters. Now, having said that, I'm probably not going to go out to my brand new Harley after this service, because I think I need that. But you know what I will have? The presence of God in me, because I asked. And what greater gift could there be? Is there a greater gift than that? Is there a greater thing that we could have? When is it not everything we need? When we're rejoicing and we remember that it's God's provision, we rejoice in God's goodness. When we are struggling, when we are in pain, when we are suffering, when we are losing those who are near and dear to us, and we can stop and go, but the Lord is here in me, and we find peace, and we find comfort in the love of God that indwells us, those who ask. Ask for all those things that seem so important. But don't forget this. To all who will ask, he gives his very essence, the Holy Spirit, to indwell. Amen.